Well, so far, I think what we've seen from groups like ISIS, especially when it comes to cyber, has been the deployment of the internet to spread its message, to recruit primarily. We've not really seen it use it in an offensive capacity so much as in terms of kinetically. Where ISIS has been quite savvy has been using social media channels, using the internet to get its message out about, to start with, encouraging people to come to the caliphate it was building, and then getting those people to then carry out attacks in their home countries. How these sorts of groups can begin to use technology in an even more offensive way, I think, remains to be seen. It's very clearly an area of concern for security officials because, exactly as you mentioned, we see people like Rob Wainwright, we see the head of GCHQ raising awareness that this could be the new domain that terrorist groups look to exploit. And so it's encouraging to hear them speak about these issues publicly.
So when you look at what you know and what you do on a daily basis regarding these groups, do you have any idea whether their capabilities to actually engage in something like this still is something in the out years, or is this something that we could be surprised by in the short term?
Well, I think a general rule of thumb is if we've thought of it, so have the terrorists. And so I've no doubt that they have a desire and have probably had a desire for some time to be able to use cyber in a more effective way to somehow impact national security of the US, Europe, the West more broadly. What exactly that looks like is unclear, at least to me right now. I think I've not seen the evidence yet that groups like ISIS have the technological capacity that, for example, states would have, states we may be concerned about, such as Russia, for example, to impact the West in the same way. But one of the trends I think we've seen of terrorist groups over the past decade plus, at least, has been their ability to surprise. And so I think it's for that reason that you have security officials raising awareness of how this could be a domain that terrorists look to exploit in the future.
So just to move to another point that I mentioned early on in this conversation, and that is that GCHQ actually unleashed a significant cyber campaign in which they said they were actually able to destroy some of ISIS, Daesh's equipment. They were able to shut down their ability to use the internet, to get to the internet. In fact, they even were able to prevent the organization from trusting its own publications. So what does that say to you about the concern and the skills and capabilities that players like GCHQ have to put into this fight?
Well, I think that speaks to the fact that GCHQ were very concerned about ISIS English language publications, for example, that were going online and that were seen as very effective recruiting tools for the group. So there's been a lot of focus, not just from governments such as the UK, but also governments working with the social media companies, in terms of taking down ISIS content almost as soon as it's uploaded. So there's been a great effort to make that sure those lines of recruitment, that the propaganda that groups like ISIS are putting out, almost essentially don't get seen by their target audience. I think that's what GCHQ are referring to when they're saying ISIS can't trust their own publications. There was a great effort made to shut down those publications to make sure that ISIS weren't capable of recruiting in the same way because online was seen as such an important battlefield. So it's encouraging to hear that we've had some progress on that front.
If you look at where ISIS is right now, where Al-Qaeda is right now, and other terror groups that may not have as much prominence or name recognition as they, where do you believe that the world is in terms of its ability to deal with and eliminate organizations like them?
Well, right now we're in a interesting period because ISIS has lost most of its territory in Syria and Iraq, clearly. Al-Qaeda has a strong presence in Syria especially, also Yemen and Somalia. But I think there are factional interests within Al Qaeda. There are factional competition, which is a hindrance to them. I think we're waiting essentially to see what comes out the ashes of the caliphate. I think it's very clear that ISIS will regenerate in some form. Where exactly that will be and what exactly that will look like will be something different, I think, to what we've seen over the previous 4 years. But you're already seeing reports of insurgency-style tactics being deployed by ISIS in parts of Syria and Iraq. I think we can expect that to continue. Unfortunately, the military victories we have gained, and which absolutely are important and absolutely vital, aren't going to be enough to keep this movement out of the game long term. That only comes when you have a whole deconstruction of the ideology, the sources behind it. And that's where I think we are still a long way from making the kind of progress we need.
Last thing, is there any concern you have right now that I haven't asked you about specifically as it relates to the capabilities, skill sets, and tactics, or even possibility that terror groups are sort of waiting for a right moment right now?
Well, I should use this as an example to highlight the fact there's going to be a hearing tomorrow in Congress, which I'm testifying on, concerning the ISIS, Al-Qaeda, but ISIS especially, ability to exploit refugee flows. This is something that ISIS clearly did in going into Europe in the kind of 2014-15 period especially. And we're looking at more recent cases where even refugees and asylum seekers that came into Europe without holding radical ideology were pulled into ISIS's orbit even after they've arrived in Europe. So I think one of the things that's always worth bearing in mind is that ISIS and groups like them have a lot of options. They can try and exploit refugee flows, and obviously there's 65 million displaced refugees at the moment. But they can also, because of the strength of their brand and because of the way their ideology has been disseminated, they've still even been able to influence people who've been given humanitarian shelter by the West. That's a real concern to me because it suggests that ISIS's ideology is essentially transcending any one country, any one sort of type of person, and even is impacting those who've been given shelter by Western countries from fleeing from wars which ISIS helped start.
Robin Simcox, Margaret Thatcher Fellow at the Heritage Foundation, G.J. Green, WTOP News.